stand? We'd like to just see who you are. And in Archie's world, you'd get a water balloon thrown at you. Hey, thank you very much. Let's give them a hand. Appreciate you. If you haven't gotten your picture taken, there's a few slots open. Tara is out in the foyer, and if you're not scheduled and you'd like to get scheduled, it'd be a good time to do it. We will be getting the pictures back probably in a week or two, and I'll be letting you know when that time comes so that we'll be able to give them out to you. It's Mom's Day. It's always a special day for any church, I guess, when it comes to Mother's Day. Interesting fact that it took an act of Congress to make Mother's Day back during the president's Woodrow Wilson, that's not easy to say, second Monday of May declared special time to recognize and give public expression of our love and reverence for our mothers. So today we want to keep up with what Congress tells us to do, amen? And we want to honor you, we want to applaud what you stand for and for your efforts. In a book called What Every Mom Needs was a survey of 1,000 mothers who were asked this question: my biggest need as a mom is, and the number one answer was, a need for significance. In other words, they wanted to know that their life as a mom made a difference in this world. And I think that's probably, that wouldn't be the necessarily what I thought moms would say that's their biggest need, but a little deeper than I thought most moms want to go, but a need for significance. And based on that, I'm thinking that there's probably some of you who would fill in the blank with the same word. So we're going to go find a mom that made a difference, and the Bible's got several of them. But today we're going to look in the Old Testament at the mother of a man by the name of Samuel. Some of you may know him as 1 Samuel and his brother 2 Samuel, but it's the same guy, okay? His name is Sam, and his was special in the history of Israel because he was both a prophet and a priest, and he was the last of that crowd to rule in Israel. They went to a government that where they had a king, and Saul became the king. We're going to talk about Hannah. Hannah is the name of Samuel's mom, and she did make a difference. She's easy to relate to because she lived in a world just like you and I live in. The culture was the same. There were epidemics, there was confusion, there was perversion. They didn't have anything that we don't have. We've just about got it all. That was her day. As a matter of fact, in the book of Judges, there's a verse at the end of that book, and it's a summary of how society was during the days of Hannah, during the days of Samuel, and it says this in Judges 21:25. In those days, that time, Israel had a king, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Can you imagine if the world operated like that? Everybody did whatever they wanted to do. Whatever they thought was right, truth became something that was relevant. What's right today might be wrong tomorrow, and what's wrong today, right tomorrow. That's kind of where we are, aren't we? What's good today is bad tomorrow. What's bad now, one day it will be good. That's hard to raise a family when the rules are changing. But this was her world. This is our world. This is where God has placed you. This was where God had placed her to raise her family. She struggled. It was not easy. And I think it's safe to say today, that the average family struggles, something we know a little somewhat about. But in the midst of that, while all of that was going on around her, she was able to live a life and instill a life in her son to be different, to be significant. So when we think about, hey, when they put me in a box and stick me in a hole, what are they going to say about me significantly? Well, there's a lot of roads that we could travel, a lot of areas where you could make a mark. But I think the most significant thing that we could do is to find that personal relationship with God through His Son. Everything after that's kind of secondary. If we want to be significant, God says we are. God says we have a purpose, and God says we have a reason for being here. And that reason is to have to be related to Him, to have that ongoing relationship with Him as a Heavenly Father. Hannah had that. Her son Samuel grows up to live that same example. So we're going to look at a few things in her life this morning that maybe we could duplicate. And the first thing is that she was a mother who knew how to pray. A mother who knew how to pray. I think if you could have anything in life, you need people praying for you. Amen? And nobody can pray for you like your mother. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to kind of stick right there. We're not going to wobble to the left or to the right. We're going to hang right in there. 1 Samuel chapter 1. In verse 2 it says, and it's speaking of Elkanah, her husband, Hannah's husband, and he had wives. The name of one was Hananiah, the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Some of you people are already looking at me strange. You've already forgotten it's Mother's Day. Because you're asking yourself, did you just say that a man had two wives? And if you're visiting with us today, you're probably saying, what kind of church is this? The Bible says real clear, he had two wives. And when you read that, you would like to go, well, but there's no clear. One wife had children, Hannah, his other wife did not have children. Spend time talking about Mother's Day, so you come back another day and we'll explain two wives, okay? Don't get too excited about that, okay? One was with child, one was not. So basically Hannah had two problems. In verse 5 it says, but the Hannah gave a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. Problem number one. And I want you to know, who caused her to be with the kid? That's God. The Lord had closed her womb. Ah, you got a problem with that, right? Sometimes, and here's the takeaway, sometimes God gives you a problem, or God steps back and lets a problem come into your life so he can step back into your life and he'll take you through. Sometimes we think our problems we brought on ourselves, and some we do. But some, God steps back for a different reason. And he allows it. So he allows Hannah to be without child. And that becomes her problem, is a small way of defining it, because to a Jewish woman, her heart's desire was to have a male child. I want a boy baby. Because every Jewish woman had heard the promise that the Messiah would come through the seed of a woman. And so it was just quite natural that every Jewish woman desired to have a boy. Maybe this would be the Messiah. But Hannah had no one. That's her first problem. Her second problem is he had another wife who had children. That was a problem. If you look in the Bible, verse 6, it's called her rival. We give her a name earlier, but now it's just referred to as her rival. Hannah had a rival, and her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. And so it was year by year. Okay, I can't have children. I guess I'll have to deal with that. But now here's the other significant other with a bunch of kids. And she's poking me with it, provoking me with it. Ha, 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 ha. Here's my kids. Oh, where were yours? Provoking. And not just once, ever so often. It said year by year, she, as a rival, poked fun at Hannah. That's how a problem works sometimes, right? Until you can figure out how to handle it properly, it's going to stay there. And the Bible said, so it was year by year. She reminded her. She just kind of stuck the knife in just a little bit deeper and twisted it just ever so slightly, just to make the wound, just to make the hurt that much more unbearable. Until we deal with that problem, it's not going to go away. And as we have problems, we have a lesson right here. But before we go there, let's talk about the husband. Because it's Mother's Day, but I think sometimes the guys kind of get pushed in the background. Just want to tell you what the Bible has to say if you have your Bibles to that first chapter. Then Elkanah, her husband, says to her, Hannah, and three times he asks the same question. Why? What in the world are you crying for? Why are you eating? What's going on in your life? Why are you so miserable? He was clueless, right? And I can only tell you as women that you give men way too much credit. You assume we know what's going on. He was clueless. That kind of hurts too. You kind of think, well, so what if the rival acts that way? At least my husband cares for me. He's going, what is wrong with you, woman? Don't give us too much credit. That's all I'm saying. Just, you know, keep us down there. We're not as smart as you think we are, okay? That's just the way it is. Here's the solution. She prayed, and she was persistent in her prayer. It wasn't just a one-time shot. She became persistent. Verse 10. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. That's not the way we normally handle problems, is it? When we have a rival, we take them on. We compete. We will fight against it. We'll do whatever we can necessary to win. Turning to God nearly is like an act of weakness. Not to Hannah. And this is why we want her to be our example. This is why we point out in her life, she solved her problems by giving them to the Lord. And she prays to the Lord, weeping in anguish, and then she makes a vow. She's like, Lord, if you'll do this, I promise you, I'll do another. We'll come back to that vow in just a minute. And it wasn't a one-time thing. We're good at praying one time. Hey, would you pray for me? I'll pray for you. One time, and it's off the list. I already said that prayer for you. And regardless of what happens, hey, I did it. I pray. Hannah was wise enough to know that sometimes you have to pray more than once. to get what you want. And the Bible says in verse 12, she continued to pray. There are people who say, well, God didn't answer her prayer. Yeah, he did. He was saying all along, you're not ready for it yet. Not now. And sometimes we don't think that's an answer when it's a valid answer. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says yes. And sometimes God says not right now. I don't know what you've been praying for. I don't know if you've been praying continually. But you've heard that answer, not right now. She prays and continues to pray. She saw the problem, being childless, living with this thorn in the flesh, as a problem that took her to her knees to pray. In our life, when we have problems, that ought to be the direction we're driven. To our knees. Run it by God. Filter it through what he has to tell you. Let him get a perspective on it. Some of your problems might be simply there to help you pray, to cause you to pray more. She was a mother of prayer. She was a mother of faith. Look in verse 20. In the process of time, she continues to pray. She's not stopping. She's not giving up. And so in verse 20, it says, so it comes to pass in the process of time. Got to underline that because that's significant in our life. That we understand we don't always get what we want when we want it. That sometimes it takes faith. And sometimes it takes patience. And sometimes it takes a process of time. God's getting everything ready for you. God's putting everything where it needs to be so he can say yes. But right now, not right now. It's in the process of time. Our prayer is a process. Very seldom do we pray and immediately show up with the answer. Most of the time, 99% of the time, it takes faith. We want to live that significant life that these ladies spoke about in this survey. But in order to do that, sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes a process of going through series of things before we get to where we need to be. The process, time. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says that faith is this. It's what things are made of. It's the substance of the things we hope for. When we hope, we're talking about our future, aren't we? We're talking about our faith. My faith believes that in the future, this is going to happen. It's the substance of the things that I hope for. And then it says, and it's the evidence of things not seen. I don't see my baby boy yet, but I believe he's on the way. I don't see the answer to that job, but I believe it's on the way. I don't see this, but I believe it's on the way. It's in the process of time. And unless we understand the process of time, we'll quit praying a long time ago. We will give up because we haven't heard from God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11 says, and how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? He's going to give you the things you need when you need them. Look in verse 25. She has now a son. His name is Samuel. That vow that we looked at a while ago, she said, listen, if you'll give me the boy, I'll give you the boy back. I'll give you my son back to serve you all of his life. That's the vow. So in verse 25, then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, oh my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am who stood by you here praying to the Lord. It's this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore I've also lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he will be lent to the Lord, so they worship the Lord there. in our church when people have children. We propose the challenge, will you give them back to God? Will you dedicate your child to God? This is where that takes place in the life of Samuel. His mother keeps him as long as she can, and then she brings him to the temple, and he's the Lord's. She is a woman of faith, and people who are people of faith also are faithful. They're faithful. She said she's going to do something. She's faithful to get it done. You want to stand out in your world? Be faithful. What that means on Monday morning? Show up for work. And when Tuesday rolls around, show up for work. Some of you are managers here. You know exactly what I'm talking about. When you have employees that are hired out, they can't show up. They can't deliver. A rare commodity in our world today is a man or a woman who mean what they say. When they say they're going to do something, they'll do it. The parents that we challenge to dedicate their children to God, one of the things that breaks my heart, and that's why I really don't jump on that bandwagon to do it that often, is that parents will bring their child, go through that prayer of dedication, never darken the door again. And I'm like, what was that about? Did you just bring your child to show them off? What was that about? Faithful people do what they say. So be a person. Learn how to keep your word. I think I told you about how I dealt with the last insurance adjuster, the claims guy that came out. Had $40,000 worth of damage from storms. And they're like, we need you to sign right here. And I'm like, I'm not signing nothing. I'm giving you my word. And if my word isn't anything to you, then you don't get the job. Well, they got the job and they got it done, and we've used them since in other places. They did good. They did what they said they were going to do. We said what we were going to do. It's a rare thing for you to find somebody that they're as good as their word. Her faith caused her to be faithful. And it wasn't a blind faith, because she knew of the promises and she knew of the provisions. She had heard about this God, that when you pray to, that he's faithful. That when you promise to him, he's faithful. As a mom, you need to keep your word. You need to be faithful. You need to understand the promises of God. You need to understand the provisions of God. Proverbs chapter 31 talks about the greatest compliment that you could ever receive. Verse number 8 in Proverbs 31, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. When I read that verse, her children rise up and call her blessed, I'm like, what does that mean? What does it mean they rise up? We've got some kids back in the nursery. You probably just heard two or three of them. I don't know which one it was, but if you're a mom, you know which one it was. And one of these days, those kids are going to rise up. They're going to get older. They're going to get stronger. They're going to mature, and one day they will look back on their mom and call her blessed. May not come right now. If you're waiting for that, don't hold your breath. Brings honor your way. Her children rise up, grow up, mature up, and one day will come back and bless you. call you blessed. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? Now, these people today are not leaving because they're offended. Leaving to get a picture taken, okay? We tried to explain that last week. At least that's the case, right? It's a great challenge today in our world to stay humble before God, to stay in prayer and hold God accountable for His promises, to live a life where when your children mature and grow up, they will call you blessed. And they will give you the greatest compliment you could ever get in your life from them. They will recognize you as someone who was very significant in their life. She was a mother of faith. She was a mother of praise. Chapter 2. She gives God the credit. It wasn't anything she did. It wasn't anything that she became. Hannah prayed and said, "My enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation." Samuel didn't get the credit, although he became a great man. Her husband, Elkanah, did not get the credit. Eli the priest, no credit. She bragged about God. Her whole story, as it was being written, as she was living it out, the centerpiece of that story was God. He was the one she prayed to. He was the one that answered her prayer. He was the one she made that promise to. He is the one she kept that promise to. And He is the one who got credit in her life for Samuel. The challenge today as a mom, as parents, we need to teach these concepts. We need to write them down, teach them. Teach your kids how to pray. And the best way to teach them is to by showing them and being that example. Teach them to believe in the promises of God. That means somewhere along the way, they're exposed to them. Teach them how to give glory to God every time there's something excellent that happens in their life, that they are magnified. So I came up with three things we need to take away from today. The first thing is this: keep your relationship with God growing and personal. You became a believer, a Christ follower some time ago. Don't be stagnant. Grow. Take the next step. Do something more than what you did. Courage. If ever there was a day where we needed to be encouraged, Jesus said the closer we come to His return, the greater the need to gather together, to huddle up and lift one another up, encourage one another. Moms can do that. You got that huddling up every week, every day. Little kid said, "My Sunday school teacher told me to walk in Jesus' footsteps. Can't see Him, so I'm walking in yours." Your little boys, your little girls, they're learning from you. They're taking the next take because you took that step. And they're following in your footsteps. We're going to sing a song to end the service today. It's called "Lord, I Need You." And while we're singing that song, you may want to come to the altar. You may want to have a word of prayer with yourself. There'll be some folks here to kindly assist you if you want to pray with them. You may want to make a decision this morning to become part of this church. We invite you to join us. We'd love to put our hand with your hand and stay on task. You need to come just to pray for somebody else. But the whole time, you want to come, you take out from where you are and come forward and return back to your seat. Let's all stand. Let's all sing.